Romans 7 comes right after 6, which follows 5, which is based on 3, 2, and 1. But it ends in 8, or 9, or 10. In other words, this is for the government of Rome. So, but it's not really for the government. It's actually for the people of Rome who became believers, Christians. So this one, hey, praise God. Hi, Linda. Yahoo. So it's for the people of God who live in Rome. And how many know God is not afraid of a battle? He's not afraid of standing up to his enemies because all he has to do is breathe. And they're gone. That's it. Then all the chaff is gone and all that's left is the grain. And we'll be the grain, right? Don't you know you're the grain? You're not a weed. And so, but they don't show up until the last days. Now we're in the last days. So it's kind of exciting. So I want to tell you the gospel again. I always do it every week. I always say what's good news and have never given you any bad news ever. You have never seen me unhappy. You've never seen me sad. I laugh at everything. Why? Because the Lord in the heavens laughs. Doesn't he?
Yes.
Psalm 2. He just laughs and laughs. You think you're God? I don't have any rivals. I don't remember creating man that way. And so Adam and Eve were created by God to be like God, to have the image of God. Now the image and the likeness was gone because of Adam and Eve. Darkness filled their heart. The spirit went back to God. So the whole world has been idolatry ever since. But then Jesus came along and reversed all of that. And all of a sudden, then we had the image back. But so many Christians stop along the way. And they get born again, not thinking that's only a foundation. So he justifies you by faith. Now, that's getting you have to have that. If you don't have that foundation, you can't build a house. And you're the house he's building. You're the ones he's building. He's not building a house. He's not building into mortar. He's building you. And what he's doing is taking away all your sin. That's all. He hates sin, but he loves sinners. He hates sin, but he loves sinners. How many know you wouldn't have any hope if he didn't? And so the bad guys today are jumping the gun. And it might turn out the opposite. And we'll have to wait for the count. But I believe God is always in control of everything. If he could control me, he could control anybody. No, he could. If you could just control you, he could control anybody.
That's true.
So it's a miracle that all of us are in. And how did you get in? Faith. The just shall live by faith. So, now, if you've been crucified with Christ, in other words, when Christ died, you died. Or when he was buried, you were buried. Or when he rose from the dead, you rose from the dead. Isn't that interesting? So he loved us so much that he died in my place for me. And then in me. And then working through me. And he did it all. I didn't even do it. I have a new life. He actually forgave all my sins, and then he cleanses me from all unrighteousness, and then he perfects me in love. Wow! That's amazing. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But I was a wretch, but now I'm not. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Is everybody here new? Yeah, you're brand new. Just because of what Jesus said. If you hear his word and you believe in your heart. No, a lot of Christians, they get born again, but then they get witchcrafted. You began in the spirit, but now you're ending in the flesh as though you could be made perfect in the flesh. Nothing can be made perfect by a law. There is no such thing. The law has never made anything perfect and never will. Even God's law will never make anyone perfect. It would take the gospel to make it perfect. So the gospel is, I command you to believe. Did you hear what I just said?
Yes.
I don't command you to obey, because Jesus is going to obey for you, and then in you, and then through you, so that men, when they see your good works, they'll give the glory to your Father in heaven. So we win, we always win, and you can never lose. So there's no losers here. He didn't make any junk.
Amen.
But you could be witchcrafted, so pray for them. Pray for people like the new premature president. Pray for him.
That is not our president, and I'm just going to speak it.
Yeah, of course.
I'm listening to Mark Taylor. God prophesied this. I'm not listening to the news, Pastor Jim. You taught us that.
Yeah.
We have a higher authority. God has promised.
Right.
We will see the righteous president sitting on the throne.
Yeah.
Amen.
So just be patient.
Yeah.
Just be patient.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It's not over.
Yeah.
It's not over. So, since it's not over, just be patient. You'll see how it all works out. So, since God's vote counts and nobody else's vote counts, because he's God, and so he always gets his way, and whatever he desires is what happens, right? And so we're so used to darkness that we don't know when we see the light. But when you see the light, the darkness goeth away. It comes from heaven. So the light is what Jesus did for us. He's the light of the world. Did you know Jesus is the light of the world?
Yes.
I mean, he said he was, so I just go by the Bible. So, 7. Know ye not, Romans 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I, Paul, speak to them that know the law. In other words, he's speaking to the Jewish people. Because the know is gnosis. G-N-O-S-I-S. Gnosis means an intimate acquaintance with the law. So the Jewish people knew the law. But they were like Paul. So that's why Paul is writing this. Because Paul thought he was religious. But religion won't take you to heaven. I'm gonna say it again, because that... it's kind of strange. Okay, religion won't take you to heaven. In other words, you doing a good work will never go to heaven. Because you can't do what you can't do. And since you're not perfect, and since Jesus already did it, not on the cross, he already did it before the foundation of the world. And he was slain from the foundation of the world. So as soon as time began and space began... And he's been here ever since. Jesus has never left the world. But now he's in heaven waiting to come back. And what is he doing? Interceding for you. Every day he's interceding for us. So don't worry that your prayers don't reach heaven. It's his prayers that need to reach us. And so everything's going his way. He's rearranging the world right now, so that he can have the last judgment.
Yeah.
But that's a ways off. So that's donum partum. Partial means what's happening today. This is just partial today. What he's doing now is partial. Because this is just the beginning of sorrows. So that's not the end. The end is when you love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you've completed the whole law. The second part and the first part. The second table and the first table. So, everything is going our way.
Amen.
Everything.
Amen.
Woohoo!
Hallelujah.
Glory!
Woo.
Everything. There's no way that God has ever been wrong. You cannot, this is called gainsay. That is, argue with God and win. You cannot gainsay him. Nor can you thwart his purposes. Because it's his world. It's his natural world. The natural heaven. The natural earth. And all of those natural things will pass away. But his word will never pass away, and you are children of the word. So you read the word over and over again. You have to read it every day. You need food every day. You need spiritual food every day. The spiritual food is greater than the physical food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is constantly present, active, indicative, most real aspect of grammar. Present, active, indicative. Has an ing on the end. And since that's the case, everything is proceeding out of the mouth of God. And you're living by that. That's your eternal life. It's eternal life, zoe, not naos. Not something new. This is something brand new, kine. New of a different kind, not natural. Not natural. You were born naturally. That's the flesh. But now you're born again. Anothen, from above. You're born from heaven. So now you are no longer you. You're under new management. You've been bought out because you were a lousy governor, manager. You weren't a good steward. How many know, Karen, you were a bad steward? Bad. Very bad. So praise God. But God did it for you. Because he knew you couldn't do it, so he just did it for you. And then he'll do it in you, and that's proof. Now he's giving evidence and proof, and then he'll perfect you in love. You can read all that in the Bible. So, now 7, this is a very important thing because it comes between 6 and 8. So, know ye not, do you not know, brethren, for I, Paul, speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Wow, that's interesting. So as long as you live, if you're just a man, if you're just a mere man, a person, a natural person, if that's you, then all you can do is be under that law. And everybody's under that law who's born of the flesh. But you're not born of the flesh. You're not part of the natural world. Oh, you are, but you aren't. That is, sometimes you slip back. Some of you sin 2 times a day. How many here sin 2 times a day? And some, it takes more than a week to get you pure. It's hard. And I've had a dickens of a time doing that. And so, but that's my job. So I love my job. But I only deal with men, not with women. Because they're the bride. They're the bride. They're like Mary. They're not like Jezebel. So we have churches today that are Jezebel churches. Probably didn't understand that, but you have churches that are like Jezebel. And they want to, well, I don't tell you what they're like. But anyway. They want to rule and reign and so on and so forth. That's not going to work. But Mary, she put everything in her heart, and she believed everything that was said to her by the angel. So there are, we're not talking, because the man should be the leader, which means a servant. The man should bear all the burdens. The women should get all the blessings, right? That's the way God set it up. As Christ loved the church, so let every man love his wife. So that's hard to teach the whole world. But you know what? I can do it all over the world. And after you say that, the pastor will stand up and say, what the man of God just said is the truth. It's in the Bible. I hate it, but he's right. And then he'll say, wife, stand up. I have been a rotten husband to you. From now on, you get the blessing. I'll take the burden. Then every man will stand up in the church. This is in Africa. This is anywhere I go. India, China. You go anywhere and the world is hungry for the truth. The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's just, you're just preaching, plagiarizing this book and just saying it. And it works. If you add or subtract, that's not good. So don't add or subtract. So know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. You're experts in the law. How that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For, the next verse, 7:2, the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law of her husband. Did you Did you know that? What law is that? The woman is bound by the law of her husband. Did you know that? It's in the Bible. I'm reading it right now. And so it says, if you're married, then you're under the law of the husband. But what? Let's say, I'm just making this up. Let's say you're married to a man that's no good. I'm just making this up. Let's say you're married to someone that's not compatible with your law, right? But you're supposed to be the law. This is for someone's in the flesh. And so most women marry men that are in the flesh. I don't know why that just happens. And they're in the flesh. Did you marry someone like that?
Yes.
Yeah. So that just happens. I don't know why. I don't know why women don't marry women. That's evil. So since that's evil, God doesn't want it. He wants you to marry a man, but he wants you to marry a man of God. Amen. Right? He wants you to marry someone that has been discipled, killed, dead. Dead to the what? Dead to the law. No, the law. So this is talking about the law. So did you know the law says, don't just be you of the flesh, be born again. That's what the law says. Be perfect as I'm perfect. Be holy as I'm holy. Be righteous as I'm righteous. I'm the standard. Be like me. How many know that's hard to do?
Impossible.
Impossible. But the Lord can do the impossible. We can only do the possible. So most people end up not correct. But in Fort Worth, we haven't had a divorce for 50 years. That's weird. That's weird. Because it says so in the Bible. As Christ loved the church, let every man love. You have to love your wife that way. And so now, the women, you know, so we haven't had a divorce, which means the kids have just two parents instead of, you know, an unknown person and then a person. And do they go to the mother or father, or do they divide it equally and all that nonsense, you know. So we never had one. So that's kind of powerful. That's the ones that I counseled and said, Dan, you're going to marry a woman that's a sinner. Karen, you're going to marry a man that's a sinner. So now that could make a problem. If you have two sinners with each demons fighting off the other demons, it'd be hard. So God designed marriage not to work without God. But if you have a God, it changes everything. Because as God hath forgiven you, so forgive your mate, right? And that could, again, take 2 weeks or 3 weeks, something like that. So since God, I'm joking, it takes sometimes eons. Sometimes it just goes passing on, and my mother and father divorced, so I'm going to divorce, and so on. It keeps going. But thousands of people should be blessed by you being a Christian, right? God says so. So since God says so, he wants you to be like that. So here, let's just imagine here what I'm saying. I'll translate it into what he means. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband. You don't know that's in the Bible, but I'm telling you it is. So long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, then she's loose from the law of her husband. So if you get into a bad marriage, just pray for him to be run over by a Mack truck. That's it. Lord, I'm just praying that something, you know, would happen today, because I don't like him anymore. And women are sensitive to that. They are. And so when a woman says, I have a bad husband, I say, okay, you want me to pray? Yes, I pray. Lord, make a Mack truck run over this person. They don't know what to do with that. Because that's what they're really thinking. But they wouldn't pray that way, because you can't crucify Jesus like that. Nobody know. But that's what they're thinking. And so then you begin to teach them the truth that will set you free. So if you're married to the law, That's your problem. Not married to the man. That's not the man that's the problem. It's you are married to the law because you think you're better, gooder, nicer, do good, right? So now you're not like God, which is put all your trust in the Lord. Put all your trust in the Lord. You're not believing that you're good. You're believing that he's good. You're not believing that you're good. You're believing he's good. And all he wants you to do is be a slave. So if we can make every man a slave, then marriages work just like that. And it takes at least 20 minutes to get this to work. Right? But not everybody listens. But everybody... It doesn't take too long. It's just, how's your foundation? Do you believe in the law or do you believe in the gospel? So every week I preach the same thing. I preach the law that makes you guilty and I preach the gospel that forgives you for being guilty. Every week I do that. You don't know it, but I do it. I always preach the gospel after the law. So you start out with the law. And the problem today is there's no fear of God. No fear of God in the church. That's why it's lukewarm. Making provision for the flesh. Everybody's making provision for the flesh. You know, and so I can see it all the time. And you can't change it. Yes, you can. Just preach against it. That's your job. Don't apologize. Just preach the word. Whatever the word says is true. So is your marriage working right now?
It's hard, but...
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Exactly. Yeah, well, that's the truth. That was the wrong answer, but that was the truth. That was the truth. It's perfect. Yeah. But never be honest. Just always be truthful. Did you hear what I just said? Never be honest. Always be truthful. Honesty will not get you to heaven. No one goes to heaven because you're honest. Well, better than being dishonest. Well, I agree with that. But when you have the truth, why worry about a Band-Aid when you have cancer?
Amen.
So we need to speak the truth in love, right? So when you do that, it all works. You can heal and cure any bad marriage. So people don't believe that in a few minutes, all you got to do is ask a couple questions, boom, it's over. And pretty soon they go out hugging each other, laughing, and you got something new. So I'm sure there's 100 or more in Dallas that are married today that would have been divorced. And once you find it, and then you find another person like that, and you tell them about it, this guy can just, I don't know. I met a guy yesterday at Home Depot in Fort Worth, and he said, I remember you. I won't say his name. I remember you. Wow. What's your name? I said a name. I didn't remember it. But 50 years ago, you said, don't divorce your wife. Oh, that was good. And he said, and I didn't, and I'm still married to her.
Wow.
After being in prison. But he told his whole story. He wanted to share his story that you told me this and it never left me. And now he lives in a home that is the year in which he got out of prison. So he's now in a home like that. Has the same address. And so, I think it's funny. Don't you think this gospel should work? It worked for Jesus.
Amen.
It worked for Paul. So let's read some more. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, what if it's the law? If you're dead to the law, you'll be alive to Christ Jesus. That's different. You know, a law is an it, where Jesus is a person. Did you know that?
Yeah.
So our problem in this world is we have a religion that is just lip service, external, and it's not heart. There's no heart in it. That means you didn't get the love of God, so you can't love somebody else until you have peace with God. And God starts the peace. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace with God will give you peace with your neighbor. If you have peace with God, then it's easy. So I have peace with God. It happened 50 years ago. And that was the same time that I came. And I didn't remember him. But he now was a Pentecostal. But then he sinned and so on and so forth. And whatever. And now he's free. And he's married to the same woman. Isn't that amazing? And the woman said, I'm divorcing you. I can't stand you, and so on and so forth. But he said, okay, you know, whatever you want, just do it. But then she bought a house and said, okay, I've found a house. I want you to come and look at it. I thought you were divorcing me. Yes, I am. But she never did. So she showed him the house. He said, this is a great house. And so it was on, two people were going to buy it and so on. And he said, look, if you'll do it today, I'll spend an extra $15,000 on it. Because someone else is doing it. But if you do it today, you get higher price on that. $25,000, whatever you want. So they did. And now they're living in that house. That's amazing. Don't you think that's funny? Yeah, it's funny. God has a sense of humor, right? Remember the one about, you know, sewing a new patch on an old garment, and then it rains and patch shrivels up and then the garment rips. That was funny. And then you remember the one about swallowing camels and straining out gnats? That was funny. I thought that was funny. Don't you think God has a sense of humor?
Yes.
He better, by creating us, better have a sense of humor. And so you have to do things that God didn't want. But he's a forgiving God, and he forgave you even before you were born. Even before you were born, he was already slain from the foundation. Now, next verse. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man. If while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. Ha! Isn't that amazing? If you're already married, you can't marry again. That's not only bigamy, but you can't do that. Because then God will say she's an adulteress. But, this is why he said that. But if her husband be dead, she's free from that law. So that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Who is the other man? Who is the other man?
Jesus.
You're not under a law, you're under
grace,
which is Jesus. Did you know that? So, since you're under grace, all is forgiven. Did you hear what I just said? So, if all is forgiven, you're married to Jesus, you're not married to a law. Jesus is a person. He's a real person. He's the substance. He's reality. And if you're married to him, it'd be better to be married to Jesus before you get married.
Amen.
That's what went wrong with your first marriage, if you have on your fourth or fifth or whatever. Doesn't matter. Because you're never going to find a perfect person. That's why I always say that to people as soon as they get married, because hey, we love each other. I don't care about the love. Is it God's will? Could you prove to me that you believe that this is the perfect time to be married, to marry to this particular person at this particular time? And I make then the man say it first. What did God tell you? I mean, what did he tell you? Well, we love each other. Well, I don't care about the love. I only want to know, is this God's will? And if you marry somebody that doesn't do it according to God's will, that's wrong. And so I just go to the Justice of the Peace or go to some other church. They all marry you. And so I can't marry you. And so I have a lot of people like that. And they just get married by me. But that doesn't mean they're not my flock. They just mean that I couldn't marry them because they've been married before, remarriage or whatever. I don't have any problem with that. It's all forgivable. What's forgivable is forgivable. And Jesus died on the cross for that. But here, married to Jesus, he forgives you for everything. That is amazing. Isn't that amazing? He forgave you before you were even born. He knew Adam and Eve. Did you know that God has foreknowledge and he already knew Adam and Eve would sin? So he put them in the Garden of Eden, right? And then he put the tree of death right in the Garden of Eden in the middle. So God always puts his church in the middle of a city or in the middle of wicked people. Did you ever notice that about God? I mean, those country churches are different. But you know, because they sin less, don't they, in the country? I don't think so. I think God always sits you into a place where you need a God. Because it doesn't work without God. Marriage doesn't work without God. Business doesn't work without God. Politics doesn't work without God. So everything God designed not to work without him. Why? Because he's God. And he's the real God. And there isn't any other. There's no rivals for God. But if her husband be dead, she's free from that law. The law of that God gave. It could be God's law. God's law doesn't save you either. So that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man, Jesus. Wherefore, my brethren, you who are become dead to the law. There it is, right there. Dead to the law, verse 4. By the body of Christ. In other words, his body died for you. Now there's no more law because there's no more standard. So God wants you to be free that when God dies on the cross, you died. When God died on the cross, then he's buried, which means there's no hope. Now you have no faith, no hope. Unless you believe in Jesus. Well, then you have faith and hope and love and everything. So God wants you to be perfect when you go to heaven. So everyone here will be perfect. Why? Because of your faith, which is built then on the Holy Spirit being baptized, and now he's cleansing you from all unrighteousness, and then he perfects you so that you actually want to do the law by faith. And then someday you'll see what you now believe. Someday when he comes back in the land of the living, not in heaven, on earth, as it is in heaven, then he'll set up his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And King David will be over the Jewish people who are over the Gentile people. Did you know that? It's in the Bible. Everything is in the Bible. Everything I'm saying is in the Bible. And I'll be preaching on it all year long next year. Wherefore, my brethren, you who are also become dead to the law. Do you think you're dead to the law? In other words, did the law kill you before you became a Christian? This is the purpose of the law. To show you that you are guilty. To show you that you are a culprit. To show you you're not a Democrat victim. I just said that. It's a joke. Because they all feel like they're victims. And so they're gathering together. If you could just get a big group, maybe you could win. And so Biden is going to be their leader. I think that's funny. I think that's funny. I think it's a bit premature. But anyway, so if you're married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Wow, isn't that amazing? If you're married to Jesus, you'll have fruit that accompanies salvation. Right? That's because Jesus did it. I mean, first of all, he forgave you. That's a gift. And then he repented, and that's a gift. And then he bears fruit, and that's a gift. And then he perfects you, and that's a gift. So you're not only justified, you're also sanctified and also glorified so that you're a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing.
Glory.
No blemish. You're unblameable. Because the law is given for only one purpose, to make you guilty. To show you that you're already guilty. It's different than man's law. Man's law, they don't care about. They do wrong and then they make up for it by something or other. But this law, God's law, makes you sin exceedingly sinful. Man's law doesn't. Just man-made laws, they don't do anything. Because they can't make anything perfect, but then never even God's law can't make anything perfect. So he freed you from the law. So there's no standard now. The only standard is God is going to do it for you, in you, and through you. So the only standard is, if God does it, it's perfect. If you do it, it's not. If God does it, it's perfect. So he's the perfect sacrifice for you. Now you're clean by the word that I've spoken to you. So now everybody here is clean. Say it, I'm clean.
I'm clean.
Yeah, you're all clean. And he cleansed you by something he did before the foundation of the world, back in eternity. And then since, when he was slain, so that he would die someday on the cross. 4,000 years later. So now the earth is 2,000 years from where Jesus came on 4 BC. It's when he was born. That was not when he conceived. He was conceived in 5 BC. In the summer. Then in the spring, Passover time, that's when he was born. You don't know that, but it's in the book of Luke. Just read it. He was about. And it says he was about. So what that means is he wasn't exactly born on it. He was born right next to it. So when he was that age, it's time. So when he died, that's perfect. That was 33 years after he was born. So he's born 33 years. Why? Because it's in the book of Daniel. It says there'll be 62 months and so on and so forth. So everything is described in the Bible mathematically perfect. Anybody that likes math, you can add up all the numbers in the Bible and they come less than 7,000 years. Because we're only in the 7,000th year right now. So I've done it 100 times, just skipping all my notes that I wrote before and done it again and done it again and done it again till I'm certain that I have the Holy Spirit showing me what does that mean. So when you meet it, you don't know if Abraham had two brothers, his older brother and other brother. You don't know if they're triplets or if they're all, twins, one and another one and another one. You don't know that because the Bible doesn't tell you that. Because God writes the Bible in such a way that you have to have the Holy Spirit in order to understand that. So you have to have the Holy Spirit who wrote this Bible to explain what that Bible says. So, I taught Dee, and I'm sure she's going to remember this. There was a word that I said that has certain letters in it, and it's what? It makes all the difference in the world.
Mitzvah.
Mitzvah. M-I-T-S-A-V-A-H. Mitzvah. That word has two senses. It could be a command. Every time in the Old Testament, it's always a command. I've looked up every one of these verses. It's always mitzvah. The mi is actually my. So the tzvah is the key word. That's the root. So tzvah could be a promise or a command. Well, they're opposites. To command me to be holy would mean I'd have to be holy. That's a command. And there are consequences if I don't do it. I can't be holy and righteous and be perfect without God. But he could do it for me, but I can't do it. And why? Because God doesn't want you to do it. He doesn't want Israel to do it. He never taught Israel the law. We saw that in Deuteronomy. Because he used the word mitzvah, which then has many, many, it could be Torah, it could be all kinds of words in the Old Testament for word. So this word could be a command, or it could be two senses, could be a promise. Now what if I put it this way? I command you to believe. That's different than I command you to obey. You see that? I command you to obey or I'm going to spank you. I command you to obey or you go to hell. It's different than that. This one is I command you to believe that I, who made a promise to Abraham, which is fulfilled in Jesus Christ and his blood on that cross, I will keep my promise. And Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Never. Well, he can't lie because let God be true, but every man a liar. So if every man is a liar, then you can't trust men. So you don't have your trust in men. But I trust God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Elohim. So the Elohim in the Hebrew has the im on the end. The im on the end means it's plural. And they know that. Jewish people know it. They just don't want to look at that. So they skip all kinds of things in the Old Testament because they're too much sounds like Jesus. In fact, it's almost on every page in the Bible, Yeshua. Yeshua is the same thing as Jesus in the Greek. So since they know that, they say, don't read Psalm 53. Why? Because it sounds like Jesus. And don't even focus on Jeremiah 31:31. You know, I mean, they just say all this because they don't want their people to think it's Jesus. That's tricky. It's kind of like the Democrats. They just change all the language. That's called linguistic tyranny. So you are tyrannized, and you always have been for a long time. And your government is no longer perfect. It started out that way, but people soon wanted to be mammonists. And make money became the whole rage of the early United States. People just wanted to make money, have their own land, and cut down trees and plant crops, and want to be rich. Or they want to start a factory in the 19th century. And so all of this is the whole history of America. Well, that's the way it is. But God wants you to be spiritual. When you're spiritual, then you're born of the Spirit. You're a new creation. Now, let me go on. Wherefore, my brethren, you are also dead to the law, to the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, Jesus, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, that is in the past, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Now listen to this. This is the next verse, rather than explain that. But now, at this time, we are delivered from the law. This is a Jewish person saying there's no law. That being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So, everybody today is under a law, and Biden has promised to shut the country down. He's sworn, I'll shut it down, because I'll go with the scientists, because they are really smart. How many know that scientists are smart? Like Fauci. I mean, I'm just saying. Like him. Or Burks. And they're all, because they don't believe in God. They don't care about God. They just believe, hey, this is going to kill, you know, 2 billion people. How many know there are people on the earth in America that want 2 billion people to get off the earth? Why? Because if they come up with a flu or a virus that will kill 2 billion people, then the earth would be sustainable. But as long as you have... I learned this in 7th grade. I learned it a long time ago that they wanted to kill 2 billion people off the earth because the earth, they projected, is going to keep growing. And so that's where your China one child, two child came from that time. By the way, it didn't work. The Chinese women just said, I can't. They just keep coming out and they're just healthy. They just can't do it. And so they have too many kids, and so they try to export them to various countries, and they're trying to take over the world and so on. It'll never happen. It's not going to happen. You only have 6 nations. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Rome, Greece. Greece, Rome. Okay, that's all you have. Just those. And the last one, Rome, is diverse from all the others that preceded it. So, Egypt and Assyria were before they were sent into exile, historically. Then Babylon was the first place they went, King Nebuchadnezzar and all these people. And I know their whole lives and so on, read them all the time. These people wanted to enslave Egypt. And one time he made a big statue and said, if you bow down and take this, and somebody actually brought it to him who hated the Jews, and brought it to him, and they knew Daniel, he'll pray. And he not only prayed, but he opened all the windows. Hallelujah, Jesus! You know, whatever. He just was so bold, and they said, ha! He broke the law! Kill him! So he sent him into the lion's den. Remember that? So he sent him into the lion's den, and for some reason, I can't explain how, the lions shut their mouths. I don't know why. They saw him and they were hungry. Well, they didn't harm him. And the next day he woke up and said, Daniel, really, this was not my idea. Haman taught me this, or somebody taught me, and I just did it. But now, are you still alive? Yes, I am. And the lions are purring down here. They're hungry. So he came out, he drew him out, and what happened? Then he threw in the other men that made the law. I mean, that's funny, don't you think? I think that's a sense of humor. Because he threw in the guys that threw him in. I like that. I like that. That's a God. That's God. So God inspired him, and he wrote a letter then to the people. Hey, leave these people alone. And then Persia came along, and you remember Ahasuerus and Esther and all that kind of stuff. All of that happened, and another thing happened. And they tried to get the Jews, and then Haman was the guy that built a 75-foot tower, and then he had it for Mordecai, which is Marduk, by the way, and a Babylonian name, or a Persian name. So Marduk is the same as Nimrod in the Bible. Did you know that? So Marduk is actually the god, and he was the first guy that did all this stuff. So this Mordecai, because Esther is Astarte, another pagan god. So she had a name, Hadassah, in Hebrew, but her actual name in that Persian thing was not Hadassah, but she's Esther, Astarte. So they were given names by the kings, because the kings used to give you all your names, because that's how powerful they are. Now, do you want to be part of that, or would you like to be free? I'd rather be free. I don't know about anybody else. I'd like to be free to do what I want, when I want, how I want it, even if it's wrong. Even if it's wrong, because God's a forgiving God. God, you didn't look at that, did you? Did you add faith to it? No, but I do now. I added faith to it. And if you just add faith to it, in the Old Testament it was salt, but now it's faith, you just add that and God accepts it. Every offering in the Old Testament was always done with salt. It can be thanksgiving, it can be sin, it can be any kind of offering you want to make. But if you add salt to it, he accepts it. He just imputes it to you because of the salt. Otherwise he won't, because it's man-made and it's no good. But if you add faith to it, that's it, salt. So we now don't have that, we just have the just shall live by faith. So you're just, brother, just the way you are. Don't change, just be yourself. And your wife loves you just the way you are, and you love her just the way she is. She's a perfect wife.
It's true.
That was the right answer. That was good. That was a good one. And see, I know she didn't understand what she said, but she believes what you just said. Because that's your new creation. You didn't do any of that. This is all a gift, a gift, a gift, a gift, a gift. What do you pay for gifts? Zero. When you get a gift to Christmas time, you give a gift under the better watch out, you better not pout, you better watch. You know, you have to do all this if you're naughty or nice. And little kids try their best, but they just can't do it. And so then you give them coal. But no, you don't give them coal. You give them the gift anyway. And their smile is enough to thank you. They're just so excited. This is what I wanted. It's probably because they saw the same TV show you did. And so, but now we are delivered from the law. So say it, I am delivered from the law. You're not under the law, you're under grace. And grace is the same thing as favor. Once he favors you, he cannot change his mind, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
So he can't say, oh, did I promise that? I didn't mean to. No, he can't say that. You can sin from here to eternity. He can't change his mind. Once his mind is made up, because it's perfect, then he can't say, after what you just did yesterday, I'm excluding you. You'd have to send yourself to the hell. If you want to go to hell, you can send it on your own. But not, God will not send you there. Once he's forgiven Jesus and you believe it, he counts that as righteous. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, to that one, God counts that as righteous. So if he counts it, if he imputes that to you, it's done. And he can't change. So once he's forgiven you, everyone was forgiven on that cross. I don't care if you're a witchcraft person, Satanist, it doesn't matter. You were forgiven by that cross. And all you have to go and say to people this truth, that'll set them free. Because they don't know that. And they don't know that the death of Jesus was your death. So you can't have the second death, which is the lake of fire. So now I want to keep going. This is so powerful. We are delivered that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit. The Old Testament law never had the spirit. You were born of the flesh, and flesh all dies. Anyone born of the flesh dies. Everyone born of the flesh dies. So pray for them. Forgive them. Love them. Bless them. Do good for them. Never curse them. There's no curse in the New Testament. So the curse has been done away because Jesus died on the cross. And anyone that dies on the cross is under the curse. That was your curse, and he took it on himself. Kill me. Don't kill them. That's love. That is unconditional when you can love somebody that's sinful. Did you hear what I just said? You have to love somebody that's sinful because everybody is. And you're only looking on the outer, but God looks on the inner. The kingdom of God is within you. So what you believe on the inside, that God loves you, that's all you need. Beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another. That is, sanctification and glorification always follow justification. But it's not automatic. He has to do another work and another work, those 2 degrees of glory. So now it goes like this. And not in the oldness of the letter, but in the newness of the spirit, because you're born of the spirit now. Wherewith shall we say then, is law sin? God forbid. Not. By the way, the Greek can say that in the question is the answer. So, is the law sin? Question. God forbid. Answer. Nay, I have not known sin, but by the law. That's the only way I knew what sin was, because it's exceedingly sinful, not like the pagans. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Which one is thou shalt not covet? Of all the Ten Commandments. Which one? There's 10. Which one says, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife, the maidservant, manservant, cattle, so on. Whatever they have, house, whatever. Whatever they have. Don't covet it. Whatever covet means, it means don't. So don't do it. So what is it? It's the 10th commandment. That's the last commandment. So now the last commandment is related to the first commandment. But in the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You can't. So how can you be God if God is already God? And there's only one God. And the Jews are right. There's only one God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Elohim. Yahweh Elohim. So now, mitzvah, I read as a promise to the whole book of the Bible. The whole thing. Is all promise, 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 which God keeps. You don't keep what God keeps. Who can defend the city except God? You wake up early to try to say, hey, we have watchmen on the towers. They won't do any good unless God keeps the city. It won't be kept. Unless God protects you and blesses you, it won't be blessed. God is God. Let God be God. He's done nothing but love you. And he's never been an angry judge, ever. Jesus Christ did that. He inherited that the day he was born from the, you know, out of the realm of the dead and was resurrected. On that day, he said, all power in heaven, the heavens, plural, and on earth has been given to me. I have all authority, all power right now. That's why he'll be the judge, and he knows what is wrong because he knows that people did him wrong to him. Even the Jews, even everybody, they did wrong to him. It's just like Trump. They just keep doing him wrong. They just keep hating him. And all he's doing is trying to bless him. And did you notice that there were twice as many black people this time in Florida that voted for the president. Not only that, twice as many as that. So that was 8% last time. Now it's almost 15%. More than twice. And then the same thing with Hispanics, only they were twice what that was. And if you saw anything on the television, they showed you. People said, Trump. You know, they were now converted to it, and they left the Democrat Party, so they lost all of that. That's why he knows the numbers he had at his meetings were not 15 or 20. They weren't 5. You know, he had thousands and thousands and thousands of... So he's doing it. I'm not just justifying it. I'm just simply saying he knows that he had a lot of people. He took Texas. And Soros spent $400 million just to take Texas because then it would be over. But it didn't work. So not only did John Cornyn get elected and all that kind of stuff in Texas, everybody, even the Speaker of the House and everything there, not only that, they almost dominated now the whole Senate. They had quite a few, but not enough. But now they have all of it, almost, with 2 or 3, and they could come from the votes that are being counted. Because if they discount things that have been done, it's possible. I'm just saying this as real, human. It's what we face every day. You don't want to be communists or, you know, lesbians or whatever else they can do today, boy, girl, every day, and so on and so forth. That's nonsense, and smoking marijuana and all that kind of stuff. Leave it. It's for another world. And if they live in that world, fine. Then you'll be judged. So pray for them. Bless them. Forgive them. Love them. Why? Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Yes. Everything that God has taught us is don't do it your way. Do it the way I say. If I want faith, I don't want good works. I don't want you to obey any law that I ever give. The governor of Texas, he wrote me a letter. And he said, you're essential. So he redefined me. You're essential. Not just the bars and the corner and so on and so forth. But you are essential. And anything I say to you will not be a mandate that you have to do, a law. You'll never have a criminal or a civil lawsuit against you, even if you disobey everything I just said. I have that letter.
Yay.
I carry it around. It's too powerful. So it says, he can never sue me. The state cannot sue me. And the attorney general is right along with him. So that was done with everyone's approval. So the churches now are free, and that's how we came back here. Because we said we won't come until it's changed. And then he changed it. Huh. So it's kind of powerful. Did you know God can make a way when there's no way? He can spread a table in the wilderness when it's a wilderness. He can do anything he wants to do. I like God. Don't you like God? I just like him. Because he's always seems to be, he's for me. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Right? Because you can't argue with God. He likes the way he likes. So, but sin, taking occasion, verse 8, by the commandment, and I told you that's actually commanding you to believe, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Wow, whatever that is, it sounds wrong. I don't know what that is, but that's not good. And so, in other words, your will and God's will often conflict. Have you ever noticed that? God, he says he wants me to go to church today, but I don't want to go. I have other things I'd rather do, sleep. How many know God can make you go without force?
Right.
He can just persuade you. He's able to. He just doesn't use force. That's all. That's what's different about God and Satan. Satan always forces you. He's always totalitarian. He always forces you to do what you don't want to do. But God just says, don't do it. But he's the only one that can cause you to not do it. With an invisible hand. I didn't even know I had that thought, but I had this thought. I need to go. And you just go, and you miss the accident. Or you miss, you know, whatever it is. You need to pay attention to God. Right. I have stories like this come in every day. People call me and say, you know what happened to me today? God said blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's praise God. Thank you, Jesus. How many knows God's not through with miracles?
Amen.
He likes them. I don't know why. He just likes them. Do them. And he'll do a miracle right now. But I was alive. Okay, for without the law, sin was dead. Without the law, sin was dead. What? Because of Jesus dying on the cross. That's how you're alive. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. In other words, it's supposed to be exceedingly sinful so that I'll be depressed without Jesus. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be death. So the commandment which God gave is for you could live forever. But only if you could obey and be holy as God is holy and righteous as God is righteous and be, you know, everything that God wants, perfect as God is perfect. But you can't do that. That's the one thing you can't do. So everyone should say, God, you know what you said to do? I didn't. He's okay with that. Just confess it. I didn't do it. Now what? Well, I'll forgive you. What? Say that again. I'll forgive you. I'll let Jesus die in your stead. Oh, I can't believe that. Why would you do that? I did wrong. You said do it, and I didn't. Well, I forgive you. Well, I forgive you. I'm not that good. I deserve it. I deserve the punishment. No, I've always loved you, and I'll always continue to love you. Even though you go to hell, you went on hell on your own cognizance. You didn't go because God sent you there. He did not want anyone to perish. He died for everybody. And he's still dying for everybody today. He hasn't forgotten his promise. Which was ordained to life, verse 10, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me. And by it, it slew me because I didn't know Jesus died before the foundation of the world. Right? I didn't know that. So now, all of a sudden, Paul, this is Paul's personal testimony. Remember when he was on the horse and he was going to Damascus and he was going to turn all these people in, taking these prisoners to him? I'm going to take them to Jerusalem and they'll kill him. So he was doing it. But all of a sudden, he fell off the horse. And then he was blind. And he said, who's talking to me? Jesus, I'm not doing anything to you. I'm doing people that follow you. Who are you? Jesus. I never heard from Jesus. So Jesus is still alive, even though you thought he was dead. Because he rose from the dead, and now he's alive. Now, you'd have to be silly to believe that that's true. So I am. I'm silly. Because I believe that's true.
Yep.
So you'd have to be weird. Okay, I'm weird. You'd have to be a fool. I'm a fool. So I really don't care because I'm happy. You can be miserable all you want. Poor, blind, naked. I'm not. I'm totally happy that Jesus Christ loves me for no reason at all. I know he doesn't have any reason because I didn't obey the law. But he said, no, that was actually a law to believe. Oh, it wasn't a law to obey? I thought you meant obey. Oh, no, that's one use of the word, mitzvah. But here's another one. It's a promise that Abraham was made by God, fulfilled in Jesus Christ by his blood on the cross. That set everybody free. So now I died when he died. I was buried when he was buried. I rose from the dead when he rose from the dead. So I already have eternal life in me, but it's only in my heart. But I need it to be in my soul, and I need it to be in my body, my walk. So that's the last thing, and that's loving the neighbor as yourself because you didn't do any of those things. You didn't create yourself. You didn't justify yourself. You didn't sanctify yourself. You didn't glorify yourself. You didn't make a bride ready. You did none of that. Jesus did it all for you.
Amen.
By faith, then sight. And then someday you'll see that God has arranged this world in such a way that you hated me without a cause. I never did anything wrong. And that's why Trump keeps saying to him, look, all I did was bless everybody. And then you came up with the flu thing and so on. That probably wasn't made in the place they say it's made probably was made by people right here. Who right here. And so it's probably all lies because the enemy likes to lie. And we used to lie, I remember that. But I don't lie anymore. I'm telling you the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, because I'm just reading from the Bible. That's all I do is read from the Bible. And you got favor for everything you do. Wherefore the law is holy. There it is. Is the law holy? Yeah, the law is holy. And the commandment holy and just and good. Wow. So what's good about the law? It makes the sin then more exceedingly sinful than just a pagan, a heathen, which I used to be. Now, it's making sin exceedingly sinful, and I thought I'd never be a Christian. In fact, I wouldn't want to be a hypocrite and a liar. I'm not going to be like all those other Christians are. They're phony and fake. I never met anybody. And so I went up until the day that I said, I believe in Jesus, he loves me, I believe in his son Jesus, I'm to the death for me every day. From now on, I'm going to be dead. I'm going to be a slave. I'll think what he thinks. I'll say what he says. I'll do what he says. And I don't care. If they kill me, I don't care. Now, if you care, you can't go to all the rotten places that I go to in the world, because there are a lot of rotten places out there. And I go there because they don't have anyone tell them the good news. And you know what happens? Since there's nobody there and no one wants to go there, they just receive Jesus. And they get healed. And they get set free. Why? Because nobody wants to go there. So I've deliberately chosen to go to all bad places, not Hawaii. Send me to Hawaii. I've been to Hawaii. I'm just simply saying he didn't do it that way. He wants you to say, go where there's no one teaching it. Could be South America. Could be anywhere you want in the world. I can go. But I have to pray about it. God, is this you or not you? If it's you, you know, trying to teach me something, I'm ready, because I'm ready to die. Paul said the same thing. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good, so that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Now, if you hate yourself from being a sinner, loathe yourself, are against yourself, that's called self-government. Because I don't believe I'm God. I don't believe I'm God. I believe I can be like God. I don't believe I can be God. So since you don't want to be, you know, lifted up or, you know, people worship you and so on, if you don't want that, and everybody does, everybody wants to be great and famous and do some wonderful thing. Every young kid, they write on their notebook when they're in seventh grade, Alice the Beautiful. And they're only in seventh grade, but they're already beautiful. And then every boy wants to be, you know, tennis player or whatever, whatever they want to be. And they all overestimate themselves because they're young and they don't know any better. So they want to be the greatest ever. So that's okay. So that's normal. But when you become an adult, and then you're an adult and realize I've done a few sins, not too many, but a few. I do go to church every once in a while. But all of that is worthless. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. So everything that you've actually done is no good. You need to be dead, dead, dead to this world and alive to God in Christ Jesus. It's in the Bible. So if that's in the Bible, I need to know that. So I'll end up with this. For I know that the law is spiritual, verse 14, but I am carnal. He's now confessing that. Sold under sin. For that which I do, I don't allow. I don't think I should do it. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. But now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So now, my sin, everyone here is born of sin. Everyone's born of sin, right? It doesn't matter what you think. It's what God says. You're born of sin, so you need to see that it's so exceedingly sin that if you miss it, you don't get it, then it's an it. But there's no law now. You've been forgiven. And you're going to be that way in God's eyes forever. He cannot change his mind. I don't care what sin you've done, your behavior doesn't count. He died for all of that before the foundation of the world. He died on the cross for that. He died every time he speaks to you. There's always, he looks at you as a saint, not as a sinner. He's only looking after your heart. Remember King David? He committed adultery. He killed his best friend and betrayed him. Killed him, because that was his wife. And then he numbered the people. And then he was a lousy father. David was a failure under the law. But he said, God, if you should mark iniquities, who could stand in your presence? Not me. So, God said, you're a man after my own heart. Because you, in the job I gave you, you actually did what I wanted you to do. And you'll be the king. So when this world is over, when Jesus comes back a second time, he'll be the king of Israel. It's going to be resurrected. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That hasn't been answered now, but it will be because it was answered then. But it shows up. So all the Gentiles will be under the Jews in their new land, which goes all the way to Euphrates, all the way up to Damascus, and all the way down into Africa. And if you read the 18th chapter of Ezekiel here, you'll see that this has been prophesied from the beginning. You'll see that he always said there'll be a highway between Damascus and Africa right through Israel. And they'll all have one God. Who is that God? Who is the God? Jesus. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So someday every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, for Jesus Christ is Lord. I hope you are blessed today. Anyone have a testimony or just say hallelujah or something?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, no, it's good. Anyone have a testimony? Yes. Yes.
Okay, well, this is just about the president. So I pray for him every day because 1 Timothy 2:1 says, first of all, pray for those in authority, kings and those in authority.
Right.
So every morning I pray for him. For 4 years. I mean,
right.
The Holy Spirit just brings them up. Okay. So the day before the election, the Holy Spirit put on my heart, plain as anything, he said, rest. Just that one word, rest.
What's the word?
Rest.
Rest.
R-E-S-T. R-E-S-T. Rest.
Perfect.
So I thought, that's rest from what exactly? You know, praying or what? And so then I just didn't give it another thought. And then the next morning, he said, I will do the rest.
Oh. That's cool.
Yeah, I'll do it for you.
Very
yeah, I'll do it.
But he's going to do the rest of the election.
Yes.
Everything. I will do the rest.
I will do the rest. I love it.
Amen.
Now, what she said is biblical.
Yeah.
Because it says, come unto me, all you that labor under a law, all labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So that's perfectly biblical. So what God is saying, anything I say for you to do, don't. Everything I say, I did. I did it already. I did it before the foundation of the world. I did it in eternity. I didn't do anything on earth that I hadn't already done in heaven.
And about the election, he'll do the rest of it.
Yeah. So, yeah, we don't have to do anything except count the ballots and whatever they're going to do, whatever lawsuits they pursue. But wouldn't it be a surprise if Trump already thought about this before he was a candidate for being a president? What if he already knew that he was going to be president? Wouldn't that be a surprise? No, because God is real creative, and he could know, if I do this one thing, which nobody uses right now, but if I just do this one thing, I can tell you where the ballots are, where they are, where they've been thrown into a trash bin. I can tell you everything, and he can prove it. Now everyone's against him because they think, ah, just surrender, just give up, be kind, and so on and so forth. These are his friends, too. But he has others that belong to the highest echelon of our government, and they're out there counting. Lawyers from Washington, lawyers from the top part of our government. And what if they've already proven it even before they go? Now, I could explain what it is, but I'm not going to explain it. So you don't know until you know. So why be anything but rest, since he's our resting place? Why worry about it? If God loves people, let him do it. If he doesn't love them, then we're in trouble. We'll all be lesbians or, you know, transvestites or something or other. We'll all be, you know, smoking pot. It'll be great. And did you know what? If you're afraid to suffer, then you'll not be glorified. So go ahead, be suffering. I don't think so. I think it's not over yet. So let's just be patient. Be patient. It's in the Bible, by the way. How long, O Lord? It's in the Bible, book of Revelation. How long, O Lord? And he's speaking to the saints. And he says to them, be patient.
Be patient.
You know, that's easy to say for you because you know the end from the beginning. But we don't. And we don't like it. And so they weren't really griping, but they were not happy with that answer. He said, be patient. Be patient. And so they're just being patient. You're just resting because you're resting in the everlasting arms of God. He's not going to let you go. It'll all turn out. We all know it's going to turn out in heaven. What we don't know on earth, is he the governor of the nations or he's not the governor of the nations? If he's the governor of the nations, we're the most Christian-like nation in the whole world. All the stuff we have is all our constitutions, everything is built on the Bible. But you don't need to know that. All you need to know is God's good, gracious, merciful.
You know, I was going through the Psalms this week, and it's funny. Because, like, everything I read was exactly what I was going through on the inside regarding this whole thing
right. That
we're facing. It was like, God, fight my battles, destroy my enemies.
Yeah.
Those who are trying to just totally do me in.
Yeah.
Knock them to pieces.
Yeah.
And I was like, thank you, Jesus. You know, because I was like, man, this is, you know, it's kind of crazy, right?
Yeah.
But God knows
right. The
battles.
Yeah.
And he knows that. Only he.
Yeah.
Only he.
Right.
Is able.
Yeah.
He wants us, just like you're saying.
Perfect.
It's his will for us to totally rest.
Right.
Because the Bible says
yep. That
it's not by might.
Right.
It's not by power, but it's by my spirit.
Right.
God goes before us. And when people are, the Bible says, touch not.
Yes. Yeah.
Annoying.
Yeah. Praise God.
You, my prophets.
Yeah.
No harm.
So, we're not forcing God. You don't control God. You just can pray, though. There's nothing wrong with praying.
Yeah.
And saying, God, discomfort the enemy.
Yeah.
D-I-S-C-O-M-I-T. Just discomfort him. And he did that all the time in the Old Testament. So should the Jewish people have a less, you know, or more? If he put fear in all the people in Canaan, and he did. He said, don't go in. I'm going to go in first. I'll put fear in them. They had fear when they came in. Possess the land, not like you did last time. Run away. Possess the land this time. And they did. And now it's theirs. Texas became his in just a few weeks, 2 weeks after the Alamo. So we lost there. He exterminated everyone that was alive. And he burned them. Then 2 weeks later, in 18 minutes, Texas was ours forever. So Texas wasn't defeated this time. It should have been. $400 million is a lot to spend. And I'm sure it had some success. But it didn't take Texas.
Amen.
It didn't. And that's amazing. All right. Anyone else? Yes. Cynthia.
I, like you, have been praying earnestly.
Yep.
And trying to help people see things that they may not be seeing on the news.
Right.
And when the election happened, I had so much peace. It was so supernatural that I knew that was God. Mm-hmm. And I was so comforted by that. And I would have people call me like, "How are you?
Yeah, how are you doing?"
Yeah, and I would tell them, "I am completely at peace. I have such a peace in my heart."
Yeah.
You know, and then they'd say, "You do?" And then I'd tell them why.
Right. Wow. Yeah. Know, so. No, it's powerful.
Yeah.
Because it always appears, "Oh, maybe there's a hope." "Oh, no, there's not." Then, "Oh, there's hope. There's another." "Oh, no, no." "They were thrown in a bin. You know, they were burned up." You know, and don't worry about it. Just leave it to God.
Right, and pray.
No, but you pray. And God is always into us praying. That's what He wants, is for us to be hot so that we can make everybody else hot. Even these people could be on our side. After all, we won a lot of the blacks, a lot of the Hispanics, a lot of the homosexuals, a lot of people. And don't worry about their sins and so on. He's not interested in sin. He's interested in the heart. And when you see that, that's a man after my own. That's a woman after my own. That is one of mine. So they can be converted. They can be converted. Mm-hmm. I was. Anybody could be.
Well, if we don't go through this process now,
right,
then we'll be worse off.
Right.
It's a cleansing process. Oh, yeah. We have to go through this.
It's good.
To cleanse and, everything.
Right.
And restructure our hope
right.
process.
Don't think they're not converted by looking at us. Mm-hmm. They are. Mm-hmm. They're just amazed at how can common people, you know, enter into this fray that we've invented and created. All the big tech companies, they are so convinced that it's going to go the way they want. So isn't that funny that God has an agenda that says, you know, I want the whole world to know that I did this.
Yes.
Yeah.
It just as an encouragement. Not the end. It's not the end. It's just the beginning of sorrows. And so God could encourage us. And then that would give us a courage to keep going. Hey, if God, you know, did this in, you know, Egypt, couldn't He do this in Syria and so on and so forth?
On your way.
Jesus is the way. Yeah.
Wow.
Yahoo! Wow. Well, it's good that we make an impact on the world, right? We haven't made much, you know. So it's good that they realize there is a God. And it'll put fear in them. You don't think they're afraid? They are afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are afraid. And they're watching. And they know we can't win. They've rigged it. So you cannot win. And then when we win, they'll go, "How did that happen?" All those losers, they got a God? So it's kind of funny. You have to realize God has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And so He can do anything He wants. And we're getting close to the end, but it's not the end yet. This is just the beginning. All right. So if every knee bows and every tongue confesses, every, not some, not most. Every, it's not a majority rule. If every knee bows, if that's where we're heading, and He's already told us that, then how can you be amazed that God should do a few things now, even in our own day, even here in America? So all we've done is give hope to people that have no hope. In China or Iran or all those enemies, they're not enemies. They're just fellow people and they don't have any teaching. They don't have any gospel. They don't have any truth. They need it. So, we've just begun. We've just begun. All right. Anyone else? All right. Perfect. Perfect. In the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread. Unleavened bread. That means no sin. He took bread and He broke it and distributed it to each of His disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." Now, you're the body of Christ, by the way. "This is my body, and I want you to partake of this nourishment, this food. So let us now partake of this body." Now, because we've partaken of His nourishment, we need to then drink this cup. And in the same manner, He took the cup, and when He had supped, He was first, and given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, disciples, in remembrance of my death." So now we're remembering His death. That's when you died. So you can't die now. It's impossible. You can die biologically, but you can't die spiritually. So you have eternal life in your being right now. When He comes back again, you'll have a new soul and a new walk that you don't have right now. But he'll do that in an instant, in an instant, right away. An Augenblick, immediately. So God is going to do this. So let us partake now of the blood of the Lord. Lord, we have no idea what we just did, but you said do it. And so we give you praise that everything you said about your death has been a benefit to us. And we're now dead to the law, and we're alive to God in Christ Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
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 Woohoo!
Hallelujah.
Glory!
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Love you.